If you already know Drake, or you already been on Drake's TikTok, or his lives, or his Sunday Zooms, which will be once a month now. Did you know? Now you know. You know whose voice this is. It's Shan from She Gets It Pod. So while you're listening to Everything Culture, with an A, not an I, check out She Gets It Pod. All right. I know I'm the one with the little boo me on there. That's me. All right. New season 22, giving y'all encouragement, motivation, and a real insight in the things that I think about on a daily, but I'm saying them out loud to y'all. So check me out on She Gets a Pod on your favorite podcast app, and also find me and the rest of my podcast on shambypodden.com. Now, I hope you're enjoying this show with Everything Culture. Hey, Drake, I'll let you have your mic back now. Bye. Just to let you know, this podcast will include some controversial topics, okay? May not be suitable for the workplace, may not be suitable for people that are in your Lyft or your Uber, okay? Don't want you to have a bad review, but we're talking about topics most people don't want to discuss, topics that might be triggering for those who have experienced the history of what we're talking about. And just know, you can always put in your headphones, you can always Bluetooth it, or you can always wait till you're in your vehicle or in your home or in your office solo. Either way, we appreciate you listening.
I'm going to board meetings, okay? Mm-hmm. Stepping in. They clapping when I'm stepping in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, man, Drake did it again. Man, they said everywhere I go, I see Drake. He is the face of the organization. Mm-hmm. I'm doing 70 speaking engagements, 70 plus speaking engagements a year. They were doing 30 before me yearly. Mm-hmm. And it was a little small. I'm going to different colleges. I'm helping out with trainings at the law school. I really should be in law school now. You feel me?
What did that do to your mental, like emotionally going that ham?
That's what I do.
But what balanced?
I don't know. I was raised to be a hard worker. Mm. That's the thing, but it's my appreciation what bothers me.
Okay.
Listen, Shan. When I tell you I did all this and they clap, the board members, the board chair used to be one of my volunteers and he saw how I work hands on. I'm about that smoke. Mm-hmm. He ain't playing. I'm really about this work, you know, mm-hmm. But I come in, everybody clapping, everybody showing appreciation because we're winning. We're at the top right now. Mm-hmm. My CEO was sitting down, rolling her eyes with her arms crossed.
What? Why?
You tell me. So, once again, that's what messed up my mental. That's what bothered me.
Because it didn't matter how hard you were going or how much you were putting in. She didn't appreciate it because it was you that was getting the appreciation from the people. Hey guys, welcome back to She Gets a Pod and Everything Culture collab. This is talks they don't want to have. I almost forgot.
Yo, I'm rubbing off on you.
I almost forgot. You've been doing so good this week, remembering. This is episode 6, Workplace and Wage Gaps for Blacks, okay? This is a series where we're talking about Black American issues overall, whether it's in the workplace, home, family, business, self, improvement, the community, the church. We're talking about it, okay? And we're talking about those, you know, uneasy conversations that might not be appropriate in the office. Certain times might not be appropriate at the dinner table, certain times might not be appropriate with your other friends from other cultures, but we're going to talk about it. If you would like to support the podcast, you can check out everythingculture.com support. You can download and subscribe on YouTube and on your podcast apps. And you can find She Gets It Pod on your favorite podcast app. Hopefully you're already subscribed, but if not, I am on YouTube, Shannon Pods, shanbypodden.com, and on all your podcast platforms. This is the 21st season, okay? And I'm doing it with one of my favorite people, PodFam, Drake. And workplace, okay, let's talk about it. Workplace Madness with the remix of Wage Gap for Black People. I think it's improving. Could it improve a bit more? Yes. Could it improve a bit faster? Yes. But nothing gets done if it's not talked about, if it's not open for discussion, and if it's not progressing in the right direction. If we keep acting like it's not a problem, I think it will stay as is. What are your thoughts about it?
I believe the same thing. I believe we've made, once again, a lot of progress in the time that we've had here in America. But we still have some barriers to face. And the biggest thing is to notice that we have those barriers and to discuss them and address them and resolve the barriers too. We have to recognize that it doesn't all fall on us because we're not the ones who created the barriers. So we have to make sure to, like, one, what do we have in face in front of us? You know, once again, we can always clap and acknowledge the progress, but we shouldn't stop the progress as well. It's just that, it's progress.
Right. So to start off, I'll just briefly talk about some things. The inequities of Black people in the workplace, you know, people either don't understand what the problem is or don't want to know what the problem is. And either way, it gives different ethnicities in a workplace that's supposed to be working as a team, you know, uneasiness or lack of effort that they want to put forth in how they work together or projects. Or when it comes up to your annual review, do I truly feel appreciated where I work at? Do I truly feel seen? All the extra effort that I put in this year, am I truly getting my credit next to, you know, the person that I work with here that's been here lesser time? Having a discussion of how much you make compared to me in a workplace is not something that's always spoken about. Some employees speak to each other about it, but it's not something that you're like, make sure you ask, you know, your coworker, you know, and have that discussion. It's not something that's put on the table as something you should do. But number one, I feel like there are still low Black executive representation in workplaces. When it comes to American workplaces, a lot of people right now are working from home. So you may not get to see each individual person that you're working with in our office when you do go in the office if you're hybrid. But if you do work in an office, you might see everyone and some little sprinkles here and there, but you really don't get to see management wise who looks like you that has those opportunities. The low amounts of allyship with Black employees in a workplace. Sometimes when there's few Black employees in a workplace, it sort of feels like you have to compete or challenge each other to see which one is better in a workplace. And it shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't feel like separated in that way. A demand in jobs are low for Black employees compared to other ethnicities. That's something that's being noticed. Higher wage jobs don't have a lot of Black people who have those positions in several workplaces. Future work is disproportionate as far as tech in a lot of workplaces. And tech is really big right now because everything is moving towards tech. Banking is moving towards tech. Devices are moving towards tech. How office spaces work is more pushed towards tech, being that AI is pushed to the forefront. And so we do need to show up in those spaces a lot more. The way that our children are educated in schools as far as tech needs to be opened a lot more and be talked about a lot sooner. And Black workers have a higher unemployment rate in most workplaces in America. So those six things are a common issue when it comes to Black people in the workplace here. And that's something that I hope to be a lesser issue. But again, if it's not talked about, it's just something that is just accepted. And that's something I feel like should not be accepted, because we can't grow financially with our families if we're not given an equal amount of opportunities or enough space to have those growth discussions, to have those opportunities to work these jobs. So those six things are a major factor from different articles that I've read thus far. And yeah, do you have anything to add before I go into the major three work services groups that most Black people get?
You know, I can, you know, add into it. Of course, we're going to have disparity on, like, I'm a recruiter. Okay, that's one of the things I do. So disparity is one, getting into the positions. It's hard. I'm speaking from a personal perspective at the moment. That I'm gonna talk about, for instance, something that I'm in a nonprofit sector, and we talk about philanthropy.
Okay.
If philanthropy is the realm or the job space of raising money. Going at Shan, have you donated to this organization? Have you donated to Everything Culture this month? This is what Everything Culture is doing. This is what we need from you. We know you have this great business with Shan B. Pot and things. We'd like for you to donate perhaps $1,000 this week. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what it will go towards. And this is what your money will continue to support. Would you like to come to this upcoming gala? We can, you can purchase this table, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. Okay. Philanthropy is, once again, it's a conversation within itself, where it's not, it has not been a space that has welcomed Black people. Now, it's a lot of money in philanthropy too.
Right.
It's development.
Mm-hmm.
But just like with tech, we have to get involved in it as well.
Right.
And for me being a recruiter, it's one, if I'm putting out job, I'm on job boards, I'm posting, I'm on Indeed, I'm on Idealist, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Monster, I got the job out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the, let's say I'm gonna give it 100 applicants, maybe we're gonna have 10 Black.
Mm.
And then when we have those 10 Black ones, I recognize, like, okay, it's gonna be some disparities. Well, they're gonna test them for what they know. But if I see and things that other people may have looked at in the past or still do, a Kashana or a Keisha or a Leroy or Jerome, some people may, it could become, what's the word I'm looking? It may be unconscious bias, but they may look over that person because of the name. Right. That still happens. Mm. My thing is, I'm intentional. Ooh, let me look at Jerome's resume.
Yeah.
Does Jerome hit this? Does Jerome hit that? You know, certain points that match with the job description. Okay, let's meet with Jerome. Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. My bad. We're going to meet with Jerome. That's what we're going to do.
Period.
Okay, cool. Now, I'm telling you, I may tell you a joke, but I ain't going to tell you a lie.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jerome ain't going to show up for the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jerome don't show up here. Then I've had some times where it's difficult, like introducing people to some spaces. And when we do have the ones who are able, who had a capacity in spaces, they're still met with obstacles. So it goes from the education.
Let me do your numbers. So let's say you have 10 Black people that applied.
Okay.
Two of their resumes, no.
Three of them. Let's say three no.
Okay, three no, and then this is how much you have. Let me get my hands in here.
Okay.
Then Jerome is this finger. He doesn't show up for the interview.
So first, okay, so let's say we have 7 left out of the 3 no on the resumes, okay? I'm going to call all 7.
Okay.
Maybe 5 are going to respond.
Okay.
All right? Out of those 5 that respond, we may have 2 that is going to flake off or just something come up. You know, things going to come up. So we have 3 now. Mm-hmm. And those 3 are not only going to be competing with other, but they can become competing with other, like, 7 people.
Mm.
That's how many people we're going to be either meeting with that transition to an interview, okay. Right? And, you know, I've had some that knock it out of park. Okay. Well, if you knock it out of park, oh, I've locked in. Jerome, you in there, baby, pushing. Okay. But I've seen it seems some that, like, every turn of the way, they have an excuse. Well, they don't know the work like that. Duh, that's why we're trying to get them into this work.
Okay, question. How much time do they give them to get to know the work?
Same amount of time they better get. Like, that's the hard thing with being in HR. Every place is not like where I've worked. Everybody, I am currently looking. But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I've seen some places that make it harder for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen places that really make it comfortable and try to support, and we don't take those opportunities either. And one of the biggest things is it starts like with conversations like these, talks to people that want to have, you know, talks they don't want to have, is mentorship is so important.
Yes.
Because some people don't have that confidence to do it. Mm-hmm. I've seen people, I've gone and I try to like, hey, you need to apply for this position. You need to apply for this position now. Well, I don't think I'm qualified. You're qualified.
Let me tell you, Drake being our PodFam group chat talking about all the positions he has open. And then when he does find people, the pushback he gets from people he may work with to have them come in. And I think it's very important for someone like Drake to be in a workspace that needs to be a bit more diverse and have somebody push for, no, we should have them come in. We should interview with them. We should see them. Because I feel like that's what's going to help more Black people get into a workspace, is someone already in there reaching out the hand to pull them in just to meet with them. And sometimes you don't have the people in a job space reaching out the hand, despite what somebody in the job is trying to look over them off resume, no, despite their experience and how great the resume is, it's still this resistance to have them come in. And I think that's super important to have someone in a workspace to still reach out a hand.
So for instance, so we can start with applying. So getting to that point to apply,
yeah,
that's a disruption. Once you get into the interview process, that's another obstacle or hurdle. And a lot of other people experience these things. But once again, we have to talk about the regular experience of doing getting the job and being Black. People like to dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
Being Black is a whole different thing, you know, because they're already looking at you. Unfortunately, it's like, are you really able to do the job? I've seen some Black people that's absolutely like killing it. Like their resume, they're great. They're charismatic. Anything we need for their position in there. But like, I just don't feel it. They're young. They seem overqualified. How long they're really going to stay here? This isn't it. But then I have someone that a white person, I'll be very direct, and seem like they know the work so well, but they've been in their last 6 roles less than a year. I got a bachelor's, got out. This person got a master's. They got a thesis written up. They sent us examples before we even asked for them. This white person didn't do none of that. It just seemed like the good old boy.
Right.
Or the good old gal, however you want to go by it. And I'm just sit back and I observe when people are saying, and now you may got to make my job harder, and no problem. I have to keep all this written paperwork there. You and I and everybody else have to write down what's the reason why you're choosing this person over the next person. we got to talk about lived experience. We have to talk about their mindset and speak. And it's like, if you just, if, in my opinion, I could be biased. I know I'm not. But the thing is, why don't you just look at it? If their faces wasn't there, that's one thing. If their face wasn't there, this black person would still be the best. Once again, if you couldn't see it,
right?
And that's what we're saying. But then let's focus on if we're really trying to make these significant changes. And we, like, once again, if we get on the term of affirmative action, which has been decimated within 4 years it was created.
Okay.
Once again, but the thing is, if you really want to talk about it, why are we not trying to get more people that get involved in these, like, workplaces and these organizations and these spaces that we haven't been in before? We should be looking not only for who's qualified, but who have that lived experience as well. And so, and some, and once again, to go back, some black people say, I don't want to be the token. Look, I'm one of the only black, I don't know that many black men in HR.
Yeah.
Especially in recruitment. I mean, like, I went to an HR event, an HR conference about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was two other black men there.
Mm.
Out of like 800 people.
Mm.
So yeah, we got to speak up. Yeah, I got to be noticed. Yeah, I got to work harder. But when it comes down to, and I know even with me, because, okay, we talked about the recruitment. We talked about the interviewing. And now we got to look into the bargaining.
Mm. Bargaining.
Because they're going to try to haggle you down. If the if the job pays between $60,000 to $72,000, don't start me with $60,000. If my resume hitting what it should be hitting, hey, what I asked for, hey, I know I, you know, this is what I need is to get paid. I'm asking for, you know, 70. Well, let's see, you know, we get you. And I'm in HR. A lot of these positions, they like, they're worth really 75, but we're going to see if we can keep them under. Me, okay, mm-hmm. You're 72. Just had a brother the other day. He asked for more than the range we had. I came back, I looked at his resume, had a conversation with him. I mean, had a conversation with my leads. I like, he's really worth more than that. We need this person. They're going to be a good fit. This person is going to like change not only that team, but they're going to change that department, and it's going to be a benefit to the culture of the organization. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose out on this person. Mm-hmm. Call the person back. And he, you know, the thing is, and it's not that he's not the only one, been several. They're like, because I'm glad they tried to
mm-hmm.
bargain. I'm glad they tried to negotiate. Hey, you know, they, you know, I know you was asking for this amount. We can't do that. Five over what I already hit you with the max. I offered you the max off rip.
Mm-hmm.
But we can make this. Me, oh yeah, I take it. Just excited. Places like that work with you. But I'm in a different space as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, now you've gotten in, you got what you paid. Now you're going to hit with the obstacles of the work and the fitting in with the team and melding. I love having affinity groups. How many jobs do your job have an affinity group?
Mm-mm.
Like where intentionally black people come together and have conversations with one another?
No.
So there's another thing. I don't want to keep going and on and on, but we have to continue supporting each other. And not only supporting each other, we need support from the places we work to make sure they understand what we're experiencing as well.
Right. My point is, when you have a smaller company and it should be purpose driven with skills, you have a bigger magnifying glass on what this person is actually contributing. In my position, there's a longer time frame where somebody can slip and slide before a review is, or before the numbers stop equating to what it needs to be. And then it's a conversation. And so I feel like a lot of jobs that are huge have a higher turnover rate because they expect it, because people are going to get exhausted. People are not here for the right purpose to begin with. And people are just job hopping. But I feel like working for a nonprofit or working in CPS, if you're not passionate about what the purpose of this is, you shouldn't be here.
Tell you something. When you said higher turnover rate, nah, bucko. Because one, jobs like yours probably gonna pay more. Two, and even though you don't feel like it,
mm-hmm.
Hey, could you have less stress? Because it's a whole emotional type of daunting stress on that.
Mm-hmm.
CPS is one of the highest turnover rates that you can have in the nation.
Mm.
And the thing is, like, and that's one of the reasons I got into HR is because the way they had that system created and how they were just setting caseworkers up to fail.
Yeah.
And majority of caseworkers where I'm from, guess what they were?
Yes, service.
Majority of them, and majority of Black women at that too.
Yeah. And the way we carry stress.
A lot, and everybody didn't carry it well. But the majority of children in care, percentage-wise, a disproportionate percentage were Black children, Black males at that. I've seen people in the workplace legit say, oh, they ain't gonna work on me. They ain't gonna hire me. They ain't gonna give me the opportunity. I'm right here, and I'm telling you to do it. Then I feel like, I don't want to take these classes. I'm like, they're paying for the courses. Take them.
Mm.
So we can go on and on and on, but because once again, I just know you're not going to have these opportunities in other places, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been placed in a position where to have so much self-doubt because they're going to say no, no matter what. And in my head, you're going to have that, but you still got to keep pushing it.
Right.
Same thing with me. I'm going to say this, I'm keeping going because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
In my previous position, before I'm in my position now in my previous organization, I applied for a community outreach position. It was a manager position.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I hit every point. I didn't get it the first time. Bummer. Dang. Gave it to a white one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second time. Even the person before, the person who had the role before, they were like, he's the person we need to have.
Yeah.
That woman left. Still cool with it. That woman left. They wanted to, I applied. They was going to give it to a white man. I heard that. Passed me again. Cool with the person. But I'm like, dang. I'm not well. I said, you know what? I'm about to become a teacher.
Mm.
I was studying for the certification, everything. Still got the book somewhere around here. Okay. And that person turned the position down.
The white guy?
Mm-hmm. Turned it down. The HR manager came to me. It's like, Drake, we want you to apply. I want you to apply. You need to apply for it now. Same thing that I do to people and I trust. So I was like, no. I don't, y'all ain't gonna keep playing with my feelings and emotions and all that, you know? Because I know I'm qualified, but I don't need to be treated like this. I'm leaving, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I was very bold. I said, man, I bust my butt at this organization.
Mm.
I work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, but she's like, please, 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 babe. Boom. I get the position. I'll be telling this is after I finish the CPS story. When I go into my child welfare stories, it's going to be a part.
Yeah.
But I never forget. Apply for it, interview, got the position. The CEO. CEO had been knowing me like 3-4 years now. 3.5 years. I was in this other position. I've been there already 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat me down in the office. Side note, just a little, when it's cold, I'll tell you in a second, but she sent me down her office, from here to here.
Yeah.
And we're talking at a little small desk in her cold office, and office freezing.
Yeah.
And she's telling me, basically, you can't mess this up. This is what it relies on. This is what you're representing. You can't be doing this. You can't be saying these type of things. You know, we got this type of found stuff. I already know, but she's like trying to coach me again about professionalism, you know,
as if you was unprofessional, as if you need another talking to.
Yeah, that's what it's like a prep.
Yeah,
it's like basically don't F this up.
Yeah,
and you know it's cold. When I'm real cold and I'm quiet, I start to yawn.
Mm.
So basically, I'm like. All in this woman, I'm sorry. My yeah. Subconscious is really kicking off, like, girl, stop.
Yeah.
But this is young Drake, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was in that position for 5 years. I can talk my noise. No, if this was like a Hall of Fame, just like a sport, I broke records left and right. Mm-hmm. All star. Not only in my position, I was working it. I was raising money for the organization.
Mm.
People, When I'm telling you, I'm bringing in 70 volunteers in one training course. The you know, the type of, y'all see, look at the CPS store. This is what I've been doing, but I do it in real life. The type of recruitment I'm doing, the type of holding, I'm doing it for y'all. Mm. And it got to the point where, you know, it was one thing that I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna land the plane. You feel me? It was like 3-4 years in. I'm going to board meetings, okay? Mm. Stepping in, they clapping when I'm stepping in the room. Mm. Like, man, Drake did it again, man. They said everywhere I go, I see Drake. He is the face of the organization. Mm. I'm doing 70 speaking engagements, 70 plus speaking engagements a year. They were doing 30 before me yearly. Mm-hmm. And it was a little small. I'm going to different colleges. I'm helping out with trainings at the law school. I really should be in law school now. You feel me?
What did that do to your mental, like emotionally going that ham?
That's what I do.
But what balanced?
I don't know. I was raised to be a hard worker. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, but it's my appreciation what bothers me. Okay. Listen, Shan, when I tell you I did all this and they clap, the board chair used to be one of my volunteers, and he saw how I work hands on. I'm about that smoke. Mm-hmm. He ain't playing. I'm really about this work, you know. Mm-hmm. But I come in, everybody clapping, everybody showing appreciation because we're winning. We're at the top right now. Mm-hmm. My CEO was sitting down, rolling her eyes with her arms crossed.
What? Why?
You tell me. So, once again, that's what messed up my mental. That's what bothered me.
Because it didn't matter how hard you were going or how much you were putting in. She didn't appreciate it because it was you that was getting the appreciation from the people. That's crazy.
But I was trying to, and that's why I like, it was a white woman that was doing, she has part of my role now. Mm-hmm. They're bringing 7 to 10 people in training courses compared to my 70, compared to my 35. And they just giving this woman praise, made her director, giving her more money. Mm. And when people ask, can you go back? No.
Why would you? Why would you take that beating?
It's not the work, it's how you treat me.
Yeah.
If I'm washing dishes, I'm loving you. It's how you say thank you. I don't mind doing the work. It's how you appreciate me.
Right.
That's what I was saying. And I'm gonna take it as a black man. Nah, babe. I'm a commodity. I'm worth something. Mm-hmm. I can step into spaces and rooms that you like. Even I'm not scared to do it, but I am going to be valued and appreciate where I go. And that's something we must know as well.
Right.
Know our value, know our appreciation, because there's a lot of places that want to put us in their quote unquote space.
And there's a lot of.
And they feel like it's under them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who feel like the work that they're doing, they have to do it where they are, despite not being appreciated, and you don't. Like, there are so many jobs out here, if you just try, if you just put yourself out there, that want the integrity that you have and will value you in a certain way. But if you don't believe that you will be valued somewhere else, you will stay and be mistreated.
Yes, you will.
And lowballed.
Yes, you will.
A lot of people are being lowballed and paid less where they could be paid more and appreciated more with their work ethic.
And that's why, like, when I see somebody that they hit that quota, and like, don't get me wrong, there's some people that be asking for something. I'm like, nah, you ain't ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because some people will fool you into that. You know how many jobs, like, I used to take my little cousins with me to job interviews, and I'll sit down, I'll go to experience, and they say salary. Go back, talk to my nephews and cousins, like, hey, the reason I'm gonna pass on this because they don't have this, this, and this. My time is valuable. This is worth to go for it. Mm. Like, even now, it's something, it's hard to balance it. But I've seen, and And we're still creating generational wealth.
Right.
And when I say generational wealth, I'm not talking about the dollars. I'm talking about the wealth of connections.
An opportunity.
Yes. I've sat down with guys that, you know, a lot of money was in the room. And they we working to, like rubbing shoulders. They older than me. I'm their son's age. And they're telling me, yeah, my son such. They verbatim, man, I wish my son had to work ethic with you, Drake. I wish.
That, and they're going through that right now.
Then they start talking to one another. My son, sorry, son. I had to wake him up this morning to go to work. And he stay in the back house, not the back room. He stay in the back house. He just get drunk, you know, he drunk business and he just graduated. I got him a job at Exxon. He get paid out of college, getting paid 90 grand, 90. And you have to wake him up.
But I talked to my brother about this because he owns a business, is in his name. He want to pass it down to his sons, but his sons don't have that work ethic that he does to see the bigger picture of not having to check in with somebody, not having to take scraps. You dictate what you bring in because this is yours. I want to pass this down to you. And so he's talking to me. He's like, I don't know what kid come out of high school and is on their third BMW or can wake up and come to their dad's job and get the skills that they can get, go to school, da, 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 da. And he don't get it. He keep talking to me about what this worker being paid versus him. And he don't see that I'm trying to leave the shop because I'm getting older so you can have it. And I'm just like, sometimes I said, you were born and raised in Jamaica. You came up here when you had two more years of high school to finish and you were working the whole time and you worked and you went to school and you studied being a mechanic and you've always wanted your own business. Just because that is your mindset and your vision does not mean that your sons have that mindset and that vision. And as much as you want to pass this down to them, if they don't want it, they will ruin it. And he's having a hard time swallowing that thought that everything he worked for and the vision he has for them, they don't want. And a lot of wealthy men go through that with their kids.
And so what do you do? See, now you're shifting it. See, that's a different conversation because these guys, they didn't have their own business. Well, they had their own businesses, but their sons wasn't working for their businesses. He got their son on with someone he played golf with to have a connection with someone like an HR journalist or a recruiter and say, hey, my son's applying. That's a lot of stuff, connections too.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't like crazy. But I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, got him on, and he still don't want to do it.
It's few kids when they're given that, value that. It's hard. It's like, does my child have this personality to see the vision, to see what they're given and build it up, or are they going to waste it? And most kids who've never had to struggle or work from the dirt up don't have it. They think that everything should be just put in their lap.
So that goes back to the, like, so we talk about these, coincidence, that's the progress we've talked about, okay? Because we've made progress in society here in America, but we still have a lot of challenges. Just because we have 3 out of 20 black families that are, you know, wealthy,
right?
And once again, these numbers could be, you know, these numbers are not accurate, everyone. I'm just giving an example.
For instance,
we still have a lot of work to do because it could be out of the 12 out of 20 white families, you know.
In most conversations, we are always the lowest percentage.
That's why I'm just pointing out that disparity. So it's something that over the next 50, 80 years, what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I see progress. I see us starting more businesses. I see us supporting one another, but I also see us dragging one another too.
Mm-hmm.
I see, and it's like we shouldn't be another obstacle towards one another.
Right.
That makes sense. And it goes almost to our previous conversation we had a couple of weeks ago about the Black church. We had to stick together.
Yeah, of course. Right. You speaking it. Okay, ain't no speak police. But when you were talking about, you know, as far as like how many Black people are in CPS, when it comes to Black people in America, as far as like work, we dominate three service groups. And that's healthcare, which is to me, which is to me like old slave culture of taking care of people. It just has evolved. Then you have retail, which is we've made garments over years for people and we sell to others and we fix, you know, things for people. Which even in that, me being in the South, if I'm in a store long enough by myself, looking at things, older white women will come in and not acknowledge me, not say hello, but tell me to come show them where something is in the store. Not ask me, do I work here? Not ask me if I can help them with something, but automatically because of what I look like, you assume I'm supposed to serve and help you. So as far as like food service, I feel like here in the South, we still dominate that sector also. Maybe the restaurant might be owned by a different ethnicity, but as far as like who's in there serving and cooking and talking to the customers, it's usually us. Another reason why, when it comes to jobs and this job conversation, some people from a different decade or time, you can't really speak to about taking a chance and looking for more work because in their minds, they see it as, I got this good job. Let me just stay here and just work my job.
And retire.
Right. And not understanding that there's a lot more opportunity out here and your window is only so big to go after it. Some facts before we get out of here. Most older Caribbean people say, go to foreign, which is America, and become a nurse or a nanny and just stack your money. And then eventually you leave and maybe you can look for what you actually want to do. Taking a risk on something you believe in yourself that is not of servitude is just not something looked at as, why would you do that? Like, that's too risky. Which is why most go into nursing, most become nannies, and they're comfortable with that for the time being. And then you see a lot, and this New York, especially Queens or Brooklyn, you see a lot of older Caribbean women have the house and buy in excess because all of those times when they really wanted to do that when they were younger, they couldn't. And so I never felt like I'm going to grow up and be up under somebody in servitude. So I never went for the food jobs. I never went for babysitting. I went for what was creative and what I could be hands-on with and see overall and not be up under somebody. Still to this day, same thing. Show me what needs to be done. Allow me to learn the knowledge. Let me show you I know the knowledge and leave me alone. That's my personality. That's how I work. But a lot of people, they just don't go for that, or they don't have those opportunities to be in workplaces like that. So they take who will hire them. And they just work there and they don't go for those opportunities like you said. But I just feel like it's super important for us to speak to other ethnicities, travel, always review and read on what's, you know, available for us to do. There's so many online courses that are free that we can learn and build our skills up to have something to add to our resume. Everything is not going to be given to you. And this time you don't have to go to college for everything in order to move up in a career space in a workplace. It's all about what skills do you need to have? Is this a course you can take? Is it $25? Is it a 3-month course? Is somebody showing you in a seminar? Can you take that seminar? Most jobs will pay for your continued education as long as it's going to be a position in that job that you will take, and they'll pay off your schooling. I have friends that have done it. I have friends that have done it, got what they needed to get out of it, and got a new job. But you have to know that those opportunities are available in order for you to build your skills and be in those conversations. But if you're just somebody that wants to go to work, clock in, work, take your lunch, clock out, and go home, and not go on your website at work and see what opportunities are, you're holding you back.
Some people want that though. Some people want that. That may be simple to some.
Yeah.
No, I know. And some people are good at that. I know this dude that do get oil and gas, no shift work. Mm-hmm. Get paid very well though. Mm-hmm. Don't miss a shift, work overtime, clock in, clock out. Don't deal with a lot of other drama that like stack is money. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get that, you know, so I don't go knock nobody for doing things that don't, it's not artistic or has to use much. Hey, find a way you make your living. One of my previous guests was talking earlier, someone posted about what's the minimum wage or what's the living wage you need to have in your city. And she said, she became triggered, you know. And, you know, I've been watching her journey throughout, you know, the past year or so, and how she's faced homelessness and she's dealt with paying bills and finding work. And her mom says, like, she's very against capitalism and money. She's like, I don't want to have, we have to use money. Baby, I don't either.
But that's how you live.
That's the game we in, though.
Yeah.
That's the game we in. And as much as you kick and scream about it, baby, this is the game we're in. Okay. And some people, like, you can do what you want to do, but hey, paying these bills that they put us in the pay, you can live on a, you can live on a reservation, or you can live off a in an RV and stuff. You can get a little money stack and just go off and just drink water from wells and stuff. It's still ways to do that.
Yeah.
But some people want luxury, but they want to pay for the price of luxury.
Right.
Like with me, I can be one of them guys, one bedroom, television, just sit and chill and go to, I can be a grinder and just, you know, and chill, have my peace. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to have go on cruises and chill with family and have nice paintings and, you know, great podcasts and, you know, lights and all that, it's going to cost a little bit too.
Right.
But that's the way the imaginary carrot was created, or the American dream, for you to chase this image of life and how you should live. It's kind of like with your brother. Your brother came, he's considered a foreign immigrant, came over, like how people talking about Scarface.
Yeah.
You come from nothing. Mm-hmm. You made something. Mm-hmm. You worked hard. You had to do what you had to do to make it here. And now you're wealthy, doing well. Now your kids are squandering it. And you're like, what do you mean you're doing this? Mm-hmm. And the kids may be like, I want to be an artist like my Auntie Shan. You know, it's like, and it's like, it's a different language.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the progress of us and the disparities we have, they're there, but we have to show we have a lot of freedoms to do say things like that. We have a woman that legit was saying, she didn't want to work. And she, like, I remember she used to make TikToks like, hey, I'm not trying to work. I'm trying to get y'all to pay my bills. I'm trying to be a content creator. I was like, I'm just going to keep scrolling. I'm like, best of luck to your sister. Best of luck. I am not the one. You got some women out here, they go find them a sugar daddy. And they go try to give out minimum sugar if they have to, but I'm like,
I mean, they're out here, but my thing is like, stop holding up space in places where you don't want to be. You know, somebody wants to be in that space and you don't want to be in this space, but you playing boo-boo the fool every day in here and you don't want to do what's needed. You're holding up space.
That's what a lot of people do, though. And how can we tell the difference between the two? You know what I mean?
I mean, that needs to be a whole nother
episode. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We keep drifting off, but we hit up.
Yeah, but as far as like systematic obstacles, we already talked about the fewer job opportunities, jobs being too far away from where primarily Black people live or can afford to live, bad labor market outcomes. Also, what I believe needs to change is unwarranted pushes to allow treatment to continue. Looking at people's experience and their talents and not giving them a chance because of what they may look like.
Oh, we didn't even talk about college, child. That's a scam. But I hold
on. Well, if I could do it again, I would never went, but
I would have went because I use my degree. I use my degree every day. Okay.
I feel like my degree is used, but it's not used in the way that I thought it would be used as far as like it's looked at, oh, you can stick with something for my job. That's how I feel like they looked at it.
I use my degree personally, professionally, all throughout. It makes me money. But let me tell you, the process of college, and it's historically known, and the price of college, like I'm getting ready to get my I want to go back and get my master's, and like I'm almost done paying off my bachelor's, you know, all the loan fully paid off. So I back up, you know. And when you think about it, a lot of these things, once again, it's the connections. You don't learn what you're supposed to learn in college at all times. You learn more. But why do I have to take electives in college?
It's BS. It's fluff.
Yeah.
Extend your time.
And extend your pay. Money. And a lot of this is for, once again, more people make money. And it causes a barrier. Because you just said, if I know the job and I know the work already, why do you need to have a degree for me to show that I'm doing the work?
Right. What really made me mad after college is we were required 5 years.
Oh, experience.
But you won't give anyone the experience to have the 5 years experience. So it's this big gap of it'll never be reached. And so you really have to have those connections to get a backdoor in certain spaces that people have to wait to be able to get those opportunities. So when it comes to a lot of creative jobs and just starting that grind, people don't really do what they want to do until their 40s. Because they spent their 20s and their 30s running at this rat race.
And I'm going to say this. This is not a Black thing. This is an American thing.
It's a very much of American thing, yes. But when I will say after college and I went to New York, that was the most slap in the face for me to have skills that other people did not have in workspaces. Who were less creative and less knowledgeable, but because who their dad knew
or had them connections,
them coming from money, they were in those spaces, and that's where I felt like my skills didn't matter, my talents didn't matter. If I didn't come from money, if who I knew didn't have a connection in, and they couldn't leverage who I was, it didn't matter. I was unseen. And that's when I was like, I'm not about to feel lesser than and feel like, oh, I need to go back and get my master's and then they'll see me, because I have friends who have their bachelor's and their master's and they're still trying to climb up and they've eaten off their 20s and their 30s and now they're in their 40s trying to catch up to life. And I'm not about to do that.
Like, and shout out to my folks. Like, I've seen both sides. I've seen people use their degree heavily and continue to grow. I've seen people, I work with people that had their masters and I get paid more than them, you know, still to this day, you know, and, you know, that's just what it was. And they could be older than me, whatever the case may be. I've seen some that, it was something that, like, for instance, I've seen some folks that have all this, made it to the mountaintop and let it all go. Like, shout out to, you know, like, shout out to Kira, you know?
Yes, but I feel like with her health and everything, I feel like she needed that change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, now, you know, once again, great people, you know, great podcast, previous guests. And what I love when she talking about her journey, she asking, should I go back into the work or should I do something different? You know, how we go? She's made it to that space. She's having a freedom to do what she wants. And that is a privilege. And that's what I believe as Black people that we should have the opportunity to have is the freedom and opportunity. Yes.
That's it. Okay. I also believe that all employees need DEI training.
Wait, what? Shan? Wait, what? Did y'all hear that?
What? Balance, they all need it. I don't feel like it should be optional. Just like every year we need to do code of conduct, it needs to be a thing. Because let's stop acting like this is not something that exists.
When I said this to Shan, like, I don't need to go through it. But I agree. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree, Shane. I absolutely agree.
What I will say my takeaways are is we still need room to build a better workspace. We still need to learn to speak corporate for ourselves in workspaces. We need to understand how HR works in workspaces and how we need to document everything and have everything. And have a updated resume and update our skills also. But yeah, wage gaps, workplace for Black people is getting better. Always keep an updated resume. Never feel like this is the best you can do. But at the same time, would you hire you for what you're applying for? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna hold my opinion on that one.
Right, actually, I would definitely hire myself. That was a question in one of your Sunday Zooms where you were like, you know, would you work for me? Was the question. And a lot of people had to really think about it. I feel like Drake as a boss will hold people very much accountable while still being fair. And I think a lot of people say, you can hold them accountable, but when it comes to putting in work and holding me accountable, they're going to give you excuse.
That's what I'm saying. And a lot of people showed me who they were, and I appreciate the transparency from a lot of folks. And I'm like, you wouldn't be working for me for long. I'm going to let you know now, I would try to find you opportunity. I would try to support you. I would attempt to do that, but I would get your booty out of there if you get, because this is my money. That's why I try to get people in the mindset like, this is HR. Yeah. If She Gets It is a platform. If you start hiring people from She Gets It, and you hire me, Shane, if you hire
me, like, why is this episode so censored?
I ain't gonna be messy boots in here. But but if I don't show up to something,
yeah,
but I still expect to get paid.
Yeah.
But it's coming out the salary that you create. That does come out your pocket for your business.
Right.
How you gonna react to that? Your mindset of being so lean is going to halt. Mm-hmm. You wanna say, wait a minute. This money could either go to Gigi. Mm-hmm. Cause Gigi showing up and Gigi, you know, but I'm paying Drake more and Drake ain't even doing his job.
Which makes you pay double because you gotta hire somebody to do what you're not doing.
So. And it's costing me.
They don't mix business with personal.
And it's costing the business more because you ain't showing up needed. So we losing really more than double now.
Yeah.
Time. So that is a business mindset. You talking about having this business conversation? That's what you got to think of.
Yeah.
So when I ask people like, "Hey, you come in, you say this is, and you complain about, are you really doing what you? Because you see, if you ain't in HR, you don't see what other people be doing." Only thing you see when you ain't in HR, you be seeing this with everybody be doing.
Or the person next to you.
But when you in HR, you like, they are lying. They haven't logged in on their Microsoft Teams in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That thing, and we can see everything.
Yeah.
And if they, oh, they, and they, and then you don't know who be snitching on y'all. Oh,
it's a lot of that. It's a lot of people taking screenshots on your social media and sending it to HR.
Oh my God. And we don't, and we don't really be caring. We just like, it's like,
now that you brought it to my attention, now I have to say something.
Because the thing is, it's other people, it's other people bringing it to our attention and telling us we need to do something. They're Karens.
Yeah.
It's like, we cool. I got crazy stuff on my social media at times too. But when somebody come and tell you, well, and they reading, well, it says right here that they should be doing this. Get your tattletale. Gosh, Shannon, hey, you ain't doing this. Why y'all coming down on me? And we can't say it's really your homegirl that you cool with, that right. You think you like. Can you stop talking about this? Are you telling me I can't talk at work? I never got had one dude. I pulled him to the side. I like, why do I know every Wednesday during payday you call off sick on Thursday so you can blow your check? Why do I? Have you ever told me that? No. Think about that then.
A lot of people ain't play guess who as children.
Yeah, you feel me? I'm like, oh, he like, oh, shut up, telling your business to everybody on the floor, man. Because obviously people ain't, if that made it, it's like that made it to HR, that made it to the principal. If the principal know you about to skip, one of your partners snitching on you.
Right.
And you probably should stop skipping for at least the time being.
That's
a fact. Oh, gosh, let me stop. Well, see, we done got all over the place, y'all.
Well, y'all, that is episode 6. I hope you have a great week. My name is Shan, and that is Drake from Everything Culture. Check out Everything Culture Podcast on your favorite podcast app and go to everythingculture.com. You can find me on shanbupodden.com. She gets a pod on all your favorite podcast platforms, and we'll be back next week with another one.
Peace. Appreciate y'all.
Mm-hmm.